Well, good morning and welcome to Abbotsford Anglican Church, St. Andrew's, on this Resurrection Sunday. If you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. And if you're listening in on our website, another special welcome to you as well. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. And with me today, helping us on this Resurrection Sunday in our musos, we have Sam and we have Rosemary, we have Yonglan and we have David. And Fiona and Kay and Rosemary will also be involved in the service. You're welcome today to stay for some morning tea after the service and continue the fellowship. Please maintain the social distancing. You'll be told how to do that and just proceed out into the playground and enjoy the fellowship on this great Sunday, this terrific Sunday. Well, this is a continuation of last Friday, for the story didn't end on Good Friday. The story continued. Everyone thought it had ended, but it was now to be have a new beginning. And so during the service today, we'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And if you love the Lord Jesus, please take of the bread and the wine that's in the individual cups that you would have received as you came in. If you've not got one of those, just put up your hand now and would like to partake in Lord's Supper, and Steve will come round and hand you one of those for you. To begin with, before we start and sing our first song and opening prayers, we're going to hear from the scriptures again. We go back to hear of the eyewitnesses. We go back to hearing of Matthew chapter 28 verses 1 to 10. And we listen to what happened on that Easter Sunday. Thanks, Kate.
Good morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to add my welcome to that of Trevor's. I am Fiona, one of the congregation members here, and it's lovely to be leading you through this very, very special service. On Easter Sunday, it is such an exciting thing to be able to celebrate that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is a profound reality, and I'd like to invite you just to greet those around you saying that again, Christ is risen, and responding with, "He is risen indeed." Yes, absolutely. The scriptures encourage us to sing a new song to the Lord. All the earth, honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We celebrate at Easter that Jesus endured the cross and grave in order to redeem and save sinners. So please stand and join in this triumphant truth as we sing together, "Jesus Christ is risen today."
Triumphant joy.
seat. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. I'm going to now lead us in the set prayer for Easter Sunday. Almighty God, you have conquered death through your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and open to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant us, by your grace, to set our minds on things above, so that by your continual help, our whole life may be transformed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in everlasting glory. Amen. Please stand as together we will say what Christians believe. Together. With all Christians everywhere, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who made everything sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus rose again as Lord of all and will return in glory to judge and to save.
God sent his Holy Spirit to live in us.
That we might grow to be more like Jesus. Amen. Please have a seat.
Once again, I give you my welcome on this Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, to you all, and it's great to be with you. I'm wondering if mums and dads can bring their children up the front here, if they feel comfortable to do so. You don't need to, but if you want to come a little bit closer so you can see what's happening in the next couple of minutes. I know Erwin's up here, but if you want to stand, you can see. Because, Erwin, can you see something that's a present around the place? Can you see? Can you? Where? Where behind me? Shall I go and get it? Yeah, I'll go and get it. All right. Oh yeah. Ooh. Present. Hey Erwin, do you want to come and have a little? Well, I'll bring it over to you. I'll bring it over. Who'd like to come up the front? Come on up, you come. Up you come. There's a little card on the front of the present here, and it's like on a present, there's a card and it says it's who it's for and who it's from. I'll bring it over to you. Hello.
What's your name? Is that here? Come and sit down. Come and sit down. Come around. It's all good.
Great.
Good to see you. Hello, Janice. Might give a little kick for the child. Thank you.
there's Jesus, but there's no present in the present. Oh, it's a shape of a cross, isn't it? Maybe that's the big present that God's given to us at Easter time. It's Jesus. Wonderful. Now, I only wanted you up here for a little while up the front because I've got a message now for the adults to come, but I've got a book that's here. Christmas and Easter, tying together. Now, if you received a bulletin as you came in, you might see a little sermon outline inside there. We're going to have a little time. Sorry? Oh, take, no, you, no, I've delegated somebody. You hand those around. Oh, good. Wonderful. We can sing and feel that at Christmas time and at Easter time, oh, that's for the kids. You hand those out to the kids. A lot of people think that Christmas and Easter is a time where God has ripped us off. And we feel like, what's in it? Christmas doesn't seem that long ago, does it? And yet it was only 3 months ago. And it's come round so quickly. But because there's not the same lead up to Christmas as there is up to Easter as there is for Christmas, we could be mistaken to think that Christmas is more important than Easter. Wouldn't it be great if there were actually Easter carols? I know there's a certain bread ad that actually advertises for Easter carols, but wouldn't it be great if there were Easter songs as there are of carols at Christmas time? Yet the central celebration of Christianity is not Christmas. It's Easter. It's Easter. It's a great and miraculous thing that God should choose to visit us. And visit us, he did in Jesus, as one of us. Oh, just put that down there. It's a great and miraculous thing that God should actually choose 2021 odd years ago to become one of us in Jesus. And visit us, he did. And it's a marvelous thing that he has done. And it's right that we celebrate at Christmas time. But the saying the Bible tells us that is worthy of all people to receive is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The reason for Jesus' birth was that he would die and rise again to reconcile people to himself. The Christmas carol to the shepherds that night on the birth of Christ sums it all up. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Does anyone know what the next two lines are? Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. This was the message of the angels to the shepherds at the birth of Christ, pointing out the very reason for sending Jesus, God himself, to come into the world. For in Christ's death, God himself in Jesus bore the consequences for our sin. All that we heard and remembered with great gratitude on Good Friday. For God showed his love for us in this, in that while we were still his enemies, still his sinners, still object of his wrath and anger, Christ died for us, the righteous one for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. The victory of the cross contains the reason for God's visit. Jesus did not come to just share our experience of life, nor did he come to teach us one of many ways in which we could choose to live. He came to rescue us, to give us the assurance of forgiveness, to solve mankind's fundamental problem of which we cannot solve ourselves. In God's mercy, Christ willingly took our sin upon himself and bore our punishment in his death. He has achieved for you, he has achieved for me, reconciliation with God, peace with God. We are now right with God, forgiven, not through anything we've done or think we can do or should do or can do, but what Christ has done for us. If we could do that which was necessary to get us right with God, there would be no need for Christmas. For God would simply say, continue on the way you're going. And maybe, just maybe, we might be good enough. But there was no one good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in, as the hymnist writes. God loved the world so much, and he wanted us to know that we can be forgiven and can be right with him. But not only telling us that he loves us, but showing us that he loves us when we don't deserve it. And one day we shall experience that love in all its fullness with him in the place that he has prepared for us. In God's mercy, Christ was willing to take upon himself our sin and bore our punishment in his death. He has achieved for you, he has achieved for me, reconciliation and peace with God, forgiveness. But the importance of God's visit did not cease with his death. Christ rose from the dead, and rise he did, not as a ghost, not as a spirit, not as a thought, not as a wish or a hope, but with flesh and bones and blood. And it was proof to those first believers and to us that Christ's work has reconciled us to God the Father. If there was no resurrection, we cannot have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. For merely Jesus was another good man, a very good man who died for people, and many people do that. But Christ died for us when we were his enemies and sinners to reconcile us to God. How can I have proof that that is true? Well, Christ rose, conquered death. But not only that, he appeared to many people over the next 40 days. I tell my children in the scripture class, how many days is 40 days? It's about the same time you have school holidays at the end of Christmas time, almost about a month and a little bit further. For about 40 days, Jesus appeared physically before many people. And Paul was one, and he said, for what I receive, I pass on to you now. As of first importance, not second, not third, not fourth, or the last, or somewhere as important, but of first importance for mankind to know that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to what God had promised, that he was buried, died. He was raised on the third day according to the scripture, according to what Christ and the scriptures and God had promised he would do. and that he appeared to Cephas, and to then to the 12, and after that he appeared to then more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living when Paul wrote this. He could check it out. Though some had fallen asleep, died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, wrote Paul. There is no message of hope more important for people to hear. And you gathering here this morning tells me that you believe that to be true for you. Thank you for your encouragement to me, and I trust my encouragement to you as well. There is no message of hope more important for people to hear. No greater assurance for Christians to hold on to and remember, and no song more important for us to sing than Jesus died for sins, for our sins, that he rose again to reconcile us to himself. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's sing again. Man of Sorrows. Please stand.
stone is rolled away, behold the empty tomb. Alleluia, God is praised, His risen from the grave. Oh, that God in Christ, my salvation, where your love for lies over me. Now my soul cries out, Alleluia, praise and honor unto Thee. Praise and honor unto Thee.
Please be seated. I invite Rosemary now as she comes up. Rosemary's my wife, for those who are visiting us here today and listening in. Rosemary's going to lead us now in a time of prayer together.
Let's spend some time in prayer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Heavenly Father, help us to embrace and enjoy the life you've given us to live. We are not accidentally here on earth. Each day we wake to breathe, and you faithfully meet us with purpose. We bring before you all our anxiety and worry today as we seek to embrace your peace and promises. We confess our tendency to condemn, to criticize, to compare instead of embracing the peace and blessings you have showered over us and shown us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. During these trying seasons and relatively easy days, help us to see and remember you in all situations. We never know what our world is going to throw at us, but you do not. But you do, for you never change. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us through these days and remind us that we are children of God, freed from the chains of sin by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, resurrection from the dead, and ascension to heaven where he is now seated by you. Help us to always remember and to embrace the freedom, the hope, the joy and peace that we have in Christ. Jesus, thank you for your mercy that was displayed on the cross, that is given to those who call upon your name and who trust in you. We want to be part of your great redemptive plan in this earth, and so we ask that you would give us boldness to proclaim the only solution to what our world is experiencing, and that is your glorious gospel and the hope that we have in Jesus. Bless the work of our hands here in this place. We pray for our Sunday services, our kids' church, playtime, Bible studies, the work at Chiswick Manor, for SRE, for special services and for visitations. We pray that Christ may be seen in all we do and broken hearts healed and restored to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer for the world and its people. Heavenly Father, we pray for your protection over our lives, our families, people of this city, this nation, and for all people throughout the world. We particularly pray for Christians who are persecuted and oppressed, and in those places that we hear in the news, for those in Myanmar, China, Iraq, Somalia, Indonesia, and Turkey. We pray that you will give them discernment and insight beyond their years to understand your will, to hear your voice and know your ways as they face war, civil unrest, persecution, famine, homelessness, and abuse. We ask that you would keep their footsteps firm on solid ground, helping them to be consistent and faithful despite great hardship. Give them endurance to run the race, shining your light through them. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to make a difference in this world for your glory, so that your purposes would stand, your plans succeed, and may we reflect your peace and a hope to a world that so desperately needs your peace and healing. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gracious Lord, we pray for our nation, Australia. Inspire and direct our leaders to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Grant to our governments and all who serve in public life wisdom and skill, imagination and energy, protecting them from corruption and the temptation to serve themselves. We continue to uphold to you, Father, those who are making hard decisions at this time to keep our nation economically stable and its people protected from COVID-19, especially with the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Gracious God, thank you for bringing to our country people from many races and cultures. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that can so easily divide us. Remove racism from our midst, that we may share this land and its bounty, and all may hear the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ and know his love. Lord, in mercy, look on those whose lives and possessions are threatened by natural disasters. We bring before you those people and families who are still threatened or recovering after the recent floods, and also those who continue to feel the effects of the drought and the bushfires. We pray that despite these difficult times, they will receive the resources they need to re-establish homes, businesses, and communities. We thank you for those who are assisting in disaster relief and for those pastorally caring for those affected. And we pray that many will come to a knowledge of the truth about Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. We pray that you will help us to commit ourselves to the common good, that our land may be a secure home for all its peoples, through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And Heavenly Father, on this day, we pray for those here at St. Andrews who may not be with us. We pray that you will protect them as they travel. We pray that they will enjoy the time with loved ones and family. And Lord, we pray that us here today will have a renewed sense of what it cost Jesus in dying for us, in rising again. Lord, may we find your peace at this time and always. Amen.
Behind the present, you'll see a cup and a plate. The reason for us having that there is that we will partake now of the Lord's Supper together in our pews, nor will we come to the table. This is the time where we remember in a symbolic way a meal together as a family. It's a way of saying thank you to God for giving us this assurance of forgiveness and reconciliation. So I invite you now, if you love the Lord Jesus, to come along with me now as we go through the Lord's Supper together and respond in prayer and partake and remember and give thanks. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we come now to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ, and we can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on the cross. So in remembrance of his death and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord, we must examine ourselves and amend our lives. We must come with a repentant heart, a changed heart, a willingness to turn around and go back and to have a steadfast faith. And above all, we must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. So I ask myself and I ask you, do you then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, please draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain you. But first, for our reassurance, let us make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God. Together, let's pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, You made all things, and you call everyone to account. With shame, we confess the sins we have committed against you in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life, to your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Strengthen you to do his will and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere, it's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Let us pray. Together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood. Who on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us and feed upon him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Now, just lift the plastic lid off the top and you'll find the wafer that's inside. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Now, lifting the next layer off carefully, take and drink in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I invite the musos up now to lead us in our next song.
Thank you. not contain him. Once the servant of the world, now in victory reigning. Lift your voices to the one who is seated on the throne. See him in the new Jerusalem. Praise the one who saved us. Lift your voices to the one who is seated on the throne. See him in the new Jerusalem. Praise the one who saved us. Praise the one who saved us.
Please have a seat. Prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, that we are members of his body and heirs through hope of your eternal kingdom. Keep us faithful to your Son and strengthen us by your Spirit to do the good works you have prepared for us to do, for your honour and praise. Amen. Before our final reading, I'd just like Trevor to come and give us a sneak preview of the next few weeks and any other announcements you might have.
Oh, thank you, Fiona. That's great. Well, I happen to have here a passion fruit. Now, you might think that today is the end of the story. Friday, then Sunday, but no, there's more. And I have a passion fruit vine in my backyard, and this is the first of the fruits of the passion fruits. They fell off just last week, wasn't it? Yeah, 4 days ago. Yeah, first of the fruits. The scriptures remind us, Paul said, that Christ Jesus had risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in Christ. What has happened to Christ will happen to you and to me. There comes a day when Christ will return and all mankind will be judged as to what we've done with this wonderful message that God has done for us. And those who have accepted that message will be raised with Christ just as he was, the first fruits of those who are coming. Now, why we call that is I'm really looking forward to this. It's a pretty big passion fruit. We haven't opened up any of them yet, and we're looking forward to this inside. But this tells me that there's more to come. There's more to come. And so when Paul says Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, first Christ, then those whom will come with him, you and I are to face one day Christ resurrected in the new Jerusalem, to live with him forever in what we call heaven, or the new heavens and the new earth. This is not it now. It's what's to come. There's more to come. And so over the next 3 weeks, we've got some really good speakers coming. Well, two of them are pretty good. The last one, I'm not too sure. All right. My son's coming next week, and we're going to be thinking about what does it mean to say in the creed, as the Christians all through down the ages, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. We say that in the creeds. What does it mean? Aren't we just talking about Jesus' resurrection? No, no, no. We're actually talking about our resurrection and the life that's for everlasting. Death is not final anymore. That's what's so good about today. Death is not final. It's a doorway to eternity. And so Tim's coming next week to preach through a passage in Thessalonians. And then we have the privilege of Bishop Michael Stead, who's coming to preach from 1 Corinthians 15 the week after. and the Reverend Trevor Young, the third one, on 1 Corinthians 15. All right, so there's three sermons, and we hope that you might be able to look, want to come, bring a friend along, or just come along and join us. Church meets at 9:30 on a Sunday, for those of you who are visiting us, and with those with children, there are always a kids' program, and our children's and family worker and women's worker is up the back. Karen, just want to turn around and wave. There she is. If you want to talk with Karen about your kids' program, please have a little short talk with her. Please stay for morning tea after the service. And if you'd like prayer, we have a couple of our gentlefolk, our older folk who love the Lord Jesus, will be up the front here, happy to pray with you about any matter that you might have. Thanks, Fiona. Thanks, Kay.
This is a reading from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you all for coming today, and for those who are listening in a bit later. We hope and pray that this service has been a great blessing for all of you. As we go out, I'd like to encourage you with a peace that only comes from God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia.